This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Web surfers make hundreds of millions of internet searches every day. But the dirty little secret of the search engine industry is that too many people don't get the answers they're looking for. Companies such as Google and Yahoo are trying to make searches better, but consumers may be surprised at the price they will have to pay for it. In the final part of his series on search engines, NPR's Rick Carr reports that a better search may begin at home.
Next time you're on the internet, try a little test. Go to Yahoo Search or to Google and type in 9/11 Pentagon evidence. The majority of the web pages that turn up in the top 10 results highlight conspiracy theories that a commercial plane did not hit the Pentagon. Those pages turn up because they're the most popular ones that contain the phrase, not because they necessarily contain the most trustworthy information. Matthew Heineman is a fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He's coined a name for this phenomenon.
Googlearchy, which is the rule of the most heavily linked, where sites that have an awful lot of other sites on the web pointing to them tend to dominate any sort of search.
Heineman says search engines are just machines. They figure out which web pages are pointing to which other web pages. So they reinforce a fundamental truth of the internet, that a tiny portion of all web pages get the vast majority of all traffic. In a sense, he says, the fault's not in the search, but in ourselves.
The failings of the web are, in a sense, democratic failings. It is just a popularity contest. And simply because content is popular doesn't always mean that it's good.
In light of that, professional researchers, especially librarians, say too many people use just one search engine and settle for whatever results it returns. Peter Cooperi is a reference librarian at the University of Wisconsin.
If you have one tool, all you have, for instance, is a hammer, everything starts looking like a nail. Google is a great tool, but it's definitely not a good tool for certain kinds of research.
For example, Cooperi says Google or Yahoo or any other search engine can't find most old newspaper or magazine articles. They can't find chapters in books. He says internet users need to be skeptical about what they find, dig deeper, and compare different sources of information. That's not so important if you're looking for a recipe or gardening tips, he says.
But if you're looking for things having to do with legal judgments, with your own health, and a number of other areas where there are a lot of people out there trying to sell you stuff, maybe for their own enrichment instead of your health or your financial well-being, that's where you really want to be careful.
Meanwhile, computer scientists are trying to improve the search engines themselves. Terry Winograd is a professor of computer science at Stanford, where he was Google co-founder Larry Page's graduate advisor. Winograd's currently a consultant to Google. He says the holy grail of the whole search business is a machine that doesn't just search, but actually answers questions.
What you really want, of course, is the mind-reading machine, right? You want something that you think about what you want, and it knows enough about what you're looking for and what's there to come up with the most relevant things.
Winograd says that means the search engine needs to know a little about you and the things for which you search. For example, say you search for the word China. Are you curious about a country or shopping for dinnerware?
If you've just done searches for Japan, then you probably want a country. Whereas if you've just done searches for silverware, you probably want dishes. So you could imagine algorithms which would consider the things that you've searched for recently or even over a period of time and take those into account in the ranking function.
But right now, search engines don't know who's doing a search. Instead, they only know which computer is doing it. It'd take a court order to figure out who exactly owns that computer. But that could be changing. Google's new free email service, for example, could allow the search firm's computers to figure out who you are and what your interests are. So if you're sending and receiving a lot of emails that contain the words China and Beijing, you might start seeing ads for vacations in China. That makes privacy watchdogs and a lot of internet users increasingly squeamish. But John Battelle, the former publisher of internet business magazine The Industry Standard, says there are billions of dollars of incentives for search firms to do it anyway. Battelle's currently working on a book on the impact of search. He says search engine firms are hungry for more and more raw data, web pages, emails, and search queries, so that their engineers can comb through that data to determine what interests people.
It's very similar to what people do in the stock market. People look for patterns. And when you find those patterns, if you can exploit them, you will have better search. If you have better search, you have better results. You have better results, you have more advertisers getting more clicks and paying you more.
Battelle admits that personalized search is a double-edged sword. For example, is an internet user who searches for the phrase gay marriage planning a wedding or curious about the current debate? To know the definitive answer, Battelle says, engineers at Yahoo, Google, Microsoft, and other search firms will have to come a little closer to tackling the hardest problem in all of computer science.
To solve this problem in search, you've got to basically build a brain. You've got to build something that understands how to communicate with the human brain on its own terms.
Battelle and others say that goal may be years off, but it could be taking shape in a Silicon Valley garage today. Rick Carr, NPR News.
The entire series on search engines is at npr.org.